give you so much work for that one. Should have been divided among different people, but that's okay. You don't mind a touch of suffering, do you? Before I share the word of God with you, there's something I'd like to explain. And it's entirely personal. I do not usually prepare sermons. I prepare studies. Then if I have the opportunity of preaching, I pull the sermon out of the study. For you to get the full benefit of the focus of this message, you need to go through the booklet. So the whole study is in this booklet. Each of you should have a copy of this booklet. And I would like to encourage you to take it home and study it. At the machines also, you'll see this bigger booklet. You should have taken these home already, and you should have finished this one already. But just in case, there's no final exam, at least the date is not set yet, so please take one of these out by the machine. It's called ACTION. That's my own word, ACTSION. That means Acts in Action Today. The Acts of the Apostles in Action Today. So please take this booklet and that one and use them. The topic we are dealing with this morning is a very, very serious one. And I would like us to think together very carefully about this idea. What is God's plan for his church? What is the blueprint that God has given for his church? I hope you don't mind if I hold my notes up because this thing is too low. I don't know why they keep it so low all the time, can't we? Lift it up a bit. Anyhow, never mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know what needs to happen in your church, in the world today, including the church in Canada. I pray, Lord, that you will start a revolution, start a revival in your churches, in Brampton, in Ontario, in Canada, in the United States, in Jamaica, in the Caribbean, all over the world, and let there be a tremendous moving of your Holy Spirit to bring about the changes in society that only you can bring about, although the politicians are trying to tinker with it. Lord Jesus, guide us right now, I pray, that your will be done in our hearts and we will learn and commit ourselves to what we are supposed to be doing as Christians according to your will. Now, by way of introduction, what we are dealing with right now is what is God's plan for his church? What are we supposed to have been doing in society? It's a big topic. I'll stop when the time is up. Okay. Now, first of all, by way of introduction, I suggest here you get a piece of paper. The word paper in this communication age is almost a bad word, isn't it? But get a big page on your tablet or whatever you have and divide it, put a triangle on one side, okay? Put a triangle on one side to represent Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then at the left-hand column, put a circle to represent the world. Draw a line through the circle, dividing it into two unequal parts. Okay? Divide the circle into two unequal parts. That represents the world, most of which is under the control of the enemy. Now, between the two, put a square. Now, you're learning how much art I'm capable of doing. Okay? On top of the square, put a triangle. Or a roof. At the pinnacle of the triangle, put a cross. That represents the church. Draw a line from Father, Son, Holy Spirit triangle on the right, through the church, to the circle, and back to the triangle. How is that? Your exam is in 2 hours. Okay. That is to say, God's plan for the church is that the church should take the Spirit of God into secular society and bring the whole world back to God. That basically is the purpose of the church, to bring the world back to God, including human beings, social structures, institutions, nations, cities, and so on. That is why the church is in the world, to bring the world back to God in detail. Okay. Now, there are two aspects to the meditation I want us to go through now. The first is negative, the second is positive. Now, all of this is in the booklet, but please do pay attention. Okay. Negative. Our present world is in a mess. How many of you know that? The present society, look at the United States, look at the Middle East, look at Canada. You might think Canada is not in a mess, but look a little deeper. We are drifting further and further away. There are two aspects to the serious condition of the world. One is natural. We are called that to global warming. The dramatic fires in the Western United States has claimed lives, hundreds of lives. The fires in Western Canada has claimed lives, fortunes, confidence, as well as land. On the other hand, in the Caribbean and Southern United States, we have dramatic hurricanes, two opposites. What is going on the planet? Also, secondly, there is the human aspect. There's a natural aspect of the terrible condition the world is in now, and the human aspect. Brampton used to be a pretty peaceful place, am I right? Almost every day, you're hearing of some crime that's being committed in this area. The GTA as a whole has crime almost every day, shooting, stabbing, killing, and so on. And the police cannot stop that. Why? Because it comes from inside the human being. That is what the church is called upon to deal with. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. But the church is not fulfilling its function in society. I recently heard a quote, or read a quote, from a gentleman who is a world evangelist. And his statement was, for the last 100 years, the church in the West has been locked inside its buildings. Think about it for a minute. For the past 100 years, the church in the West has been locked inside his buildings. You think of Las Vegas, think of the shooting, one man, hundreds of people affected, killed or maimed. And then, just a few days ago in Texas, a man walks into a church and starts shooting and wipes out most of the church congregation. Do you not stop and ask, what on earth is going on earth? I want to suggest to you that it is possible that someone like God could put to the church an accusation to the effect that most of the problems of the world are your fault, because you are supposed to be my agents to bring about the changes in society, and you're not doing it. You're locked inside your church buildings, and you've abandoned the secular society outside. Now, if you take a look at Canada, one thing you find very interesting is that the church in Canada is not very popular. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? One, two. Let me tell you, sir, are you people asleep? Do you not watch the news?
I wake up.
All right. I shared with the leaders of this church three letters that I had from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And let me just go through in a summary fashion some of the things it says. Bill C-51. The plan was to remove, the government planned to remove special protection for faith leaders. Already received second reading vote to be reviewed by the Standing Committee on Justice and Human Rights, God and the Bible at stake. Okay? I won't do all the letters, just mention that one. What is actually happening, or was happening, was that the federal government of this nation was planning to limit the freedom of the church. To the effect that we could be worshiping in this church right now, and the pastor could be preaching, and in walks a group of people down your aisle, round and round, basting your congregation, and walking out again, protected by law. You understand that? That is Canada. Those of you who have moved to Canada recently, I wonder if you're having second thoughts. But be patient. Be patient. Okay? Now, I need to just share with you some headlines that came just recently. Listen to this. Catholic agency denies adoption to couple who hold Christian view of sexuality. Avalanche of opposition forces Canadian government to keep protections for religious services. Delaware ponders allowing students to pick race and gender and hide it from parents. And there's more. But this sermon needs an hour. We don't have that much time. What is happening is that government measures are seeking to protect those who are not Christian against those who are Christian. That's Canada. No, I don't think it will happen, but let me give you just one simple scenario. Think of what's happening out in the world, what's happening in our schools, and so on. Right across the country, you're having cases where provincial governments are protecting people who want to change their gender. And this is aided by the school, and the people who run the school are forbidden to tell the parents. The question is, who owns the child? Whose child is it? Is it the family's child or state's child? And if you look at all the details, you see a drift gradually towards some form of socialism. I don't want to depress you anymore. I'm not trying to depress, I just want you to be awake, to understand what is going on all around us. In the world, we are supposed to have been bringing back to God. Are we together so far? Are you following what I'm saying? Raise your hand, please. One of these guys, you know, you guys are often quiet and nice, and one of these days, you're going to get shaken up. And if you don't get shook up now, you will get shook up later. So I'm just asking you to do it, okay? All right. Now, let's go on to the positive side of things. If we are to make a difference in the world, we as Christians and churches need to understand the Great Commission. The Great Commission. God's blueprint for the church. Basically, number one, the church is to proclaim the gospel to individuals and bring them to salvation in Christ. But we have to do more than that. Once you bring a person to Christ, you have to train, equip that person, that individual, for that person's ministry. whether it be in the church or in the workplace, and most people don't work in the church, to work outside in the society. That is one place where the church fails miserably, because you are baptized and you're brought into membership, but you're not taught how to be an evangelist in the place where you work, the place where you live, your home, your community, and so on. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and following. God gave the church evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, so that the church may be built up. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, God's holy nation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that is written by the Apostle Peter to the Christians scattered throughout the Mediterranean. Do we understand that that is our task? Secondly, God has told us to bring back to him the cities, every city. Take a look at Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 especially. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and those who dwell in it. Nothing is left out. Individuals, structures, institutions, and so on. Cities, towns, the world belong to God. But right now, it is not controlled by God. Okay? Note that the dominance of the urban culture, if you read through the Bible very carefully, we don't stay in the Garden of Eden very long. Before long, Cain is building a city. Nimrod is building a series of cities, including Nineveh, where the prophet is going to be sent later on. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Not much about the rural culture, although it's there, but it's an urban kind of living. And God is saying that we are to win cities in order to win nations. If you win the city, you win the nation. Notice Luke chapter 10. Go through that very carefully. When Jesus sent out the 72, he gave them instructions as to how to behave, how to function, how to minister in their home to the family, and how to minister in the city. He said, when you enter a city and you preach the gospel to them and they reject the gospel, go out into the street and say to them, the dust that sticks to our shoes we wipe off against you. We have preached the gospel to you, and you are not aware of how close the kingdom is to you. And then Jesus goes on to say, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the works had been done and you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more tolerant for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the height? No, you'll go down to the depths. Because if all the miracles that were wrought in you had been wrought in Tyre and Sidon, that's where Jezebel came from, Tyre and Sidon, okay, Baal worshippers, if the miracles that you've seen had taken place there in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But you have not repented. So the city is judged. The city is also evangelized. Where did God send Jonah? I want you to go to the city, that great city, and proclaim the gospel to the city. Jonah wouldn't go, but God had his way. You don't say no to God when he sends you somewhere. Off he went, and he went around the city of Nineveh, preaching. And the king repented. The head of state repented. Do we have a head of state who needs to repent? Does Canada have the head of state that really needs to come to the cross? What about the, not just the prime minister, but the minister, of the head of every province in this nation? Have they heard the gospel from us? Should they be repenting? Are we supposed to preach the gospel to them? Are we supposed to be at City Hall and not just in church? Where does God want us to have? And then, of course, the nation. God wants the nations to come back to Him. The nations belong to God. The nations do not belong to the politicians. The nations have been stolen. The place you work during the week belongs to God. Legally, as they say, de jure, though not de facto. The place you work is supposed to worship God. God owns it. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of the Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. But we Christians don't seem to be aware of that. We're half asleep. And we are going to be shaken to our roots if we don't wake up in the meantime. Okay.
I'm awake.
How can you make a nation? Take a good look at Matthew 28:16. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, immediately we interpret that to mean go into all the world and preach the gospel to people so that some of the people in the nation will repent. That is not what it says. He says the nation is to be a disciple. Individuals, of course, because the individuals will make the nation obedient to God. But it's a nation. Now you ask the question, is it possible for a nation to be a disciple? Listen up. Nations as disciples, as an event, has been happening all through history. Take the multinational corporations. What do you think they do? About 10 or so years ago, the Toronto Star carried a full-page article. I think it was really 2 pages. I was so struck by it. I read the thing, but then I gave it to somebody else to read, and I haven't gotten it back yet, so about 10 years ago. And here's what it said. And before I tell you that part, let me tell you this. I have in my mind a picture. I don't know, I remember where I read it, but I believe it's true. Around a table, someplace in Europe, there are heads of state sitting, English, French, Dutch, Portuguese, and so on. And what they're doing around the table is trying to decide how they will carve up Africa. So the Dutch will get that part, Portuguese will get that part, French will get that part, English get that part, and so on. That's discipleship, political discipleship. Then the multinational corporations go into places like Africa, and Africa is a wealthy continent. It's not poor. The people may be poor, but the continent is not poor. Gold, oil, so on, you know. You tell me. The article, the bottom line of the article was, during the period under review, more money went out of Africa than into Africa. Did you get that? The multinational corporation, whether they come to your country and say, well, it's not a good example, but let's say you come to Jamaica and say, we believe that you have bauxite in this country. We want to help you to exploit that resource. Whom do they have in view? To make Jamaica rich or to make themselves rich? They make a disciple of the nation. And we wonder, Chris, can you make a whole nation a disciple? If democracy can make a disciple of a nation so it becomes a democratic nation, why can't a nation be Christian? Part of the problem is we Christians think God is small and weak. And so we are satisfied with the overflow of the banquet from the Good Samaritan's table, or from the prodigal son's table. God is not like that. God is you. Oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Oh, Lord God, sing it. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched. You ever sing a song? God did it by himself. Nobody helped him. He did it, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me give you one. This is for the Chinese. Are you ready? Listen carefully. It's in the booklet, but listen carefully. Here's a challenge of a communist to a Western Christian. Similar to that of Palestinian terrorists to Israelis. You love life. You are afraid to die. We are not afraid to die. Listen up, Chinese. The gospel says, this is one guy who's confronting the church in China and confronting the missionary in China. And he says, the gospel is a much more powerful weapon for the renewal of society than our Marxist philosophy. But all the same, it is we who will finally beat you. We communists do not play with words. We are realists, and seeing that we are determined to achieve our object, we know how to obtain the means. How can anybody believe in the supreme value of this gospel if you do not practice it, if you do not spread it, and if you sacrifice neither time nor money for it? We believe in our communist message, and we are ready to sacrifice everything, even our life. But you people are afraid to soil your hands. There's more, different source. A book called Is Your Church Ready? Here is in China, a communist officer confronting a missionary. The missionary's name is John Meadows. And with this challenge and rebuke, he says, are you listening? Raise your hand if you're listening. Listen up. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, if you don't listen to what I'm saying today, you could be doomed as a church, along with other churches. Okay, here is another communist. You missionaries have been in China for over 100 years, but you have not won China to your cause. You lament the fact that there are uncounted millions who have never heard the name of your God, nor do they know anything of your Christianity. But we communists have been in China less than 10 years, and there is not a Chinese who does not know, has not heard the name of Stalin, or something of communism. We have filled China with our doctrines. Now, let me tell you why you have failed and we have succeeded. You have tried to win the attention of masses by building churches, missions, mission hospitals, schools, and whatnot. But we communists have printed our message and spread our literature all over China. Someday we will drive your missionaries out of our country, and we will do it by means of the printed page. How do you feel about that? All the effort we have invested in missions in China. Okay. Now, the theme for next year for this church is discipleship. very crucial, because what I'm all important about this morning is discipleship. What does it mean to be a Christian? How do we function? In preparation for next year, and your emphasis, and I hope it's not just putting something on the wall, you have to get into action. You can't just hang stuff on the wall. You have to do it. Do you understand? I know you will. I know you will. And God will use you too. God will use you too. Do you realize how active Satan is? Do you understand how active Satan is in this world? He never sleeps. And his people never sleep. They're always scheming and planning for the next adventure. I want to remind you of something that you already know, okay? Something that you already know about discipleship. Let me just clarify a few things for you regarding discipleship. Okay. Take it easy. Yes, sir? Okay. By way of preparation, then, for our obedience and ministry as disciples of Jesus, we need to understand the basics of Christ's call to discipleship. I want to note a few things. Dear Lord, just bless him. Bless him. Okay. Listen carefully. Number one. Jesus' call to discipleship is a call to self and possibly physical death. Somebody here is saying, why doesn't the preacher give us some good news? Right? Why is all this gloom and doom? I've had that before. I just want to share with you truth. I'm not here to pump. I don't want to pump. You need to wake up. All of us need to wake up. Face the facts and deal with them. Don't be always saying, I'm going to church to be entertained with something nice. The church is not a place to be entertained. The church is a place where drill takes place, where the soldiers practice for war. Okay. Number one, Jesus' call to discipleship is a call to self and possibly physical death as a consequence of obedience. You need to digest our Lord's basic requirement for following him. And I suggest that you memorize, be very well acquainted with Luke 9, 23 and 24. Luke 9, 23, 24. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For he that will save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for me and the gospel, the same will save it. For what shall it profit a man who should gain the whole world and lose his own soul or forfeit his own life? Number two, observe that Jesus does not accept volunteers. There are no volunteers in the church, only soldiers on active duty. Thirdly, digest the principle that Jesus does not take applications and Jesus never asks for a resume. He calls people, he chooses them, those who respond, he chooses, and he confirms. Luke 9, 61 and 62. Number four, get used to the fact that Christian disciples, I'm going to pause before I say this one. Christian disciples are not free. Is that a hard one? Christians are not free. Christians are slaves of God. Read Romans 6. Romans 6. When a man wanted to volunteer, Jesus says, go back, wait. Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. You have to understand what is involved in following me. Number four, get used to the fact that Christian disciples are not free. They cannot do whatever they want. Only what the Lord, the commanding officer, assigns them. By the Lord's authority and organization plan, every disciple has an assigned role in the life of the church. Occasionally, you know, we encounter the statement that says, and I've heard it here once or twice, 90% of the work in the church is done by 10% of the people. How many of you have ever heard that? Raise your hand. Have you ever heard that? 90% of the work is done by 10% of, to me, that's a dysfunctional institution. The church is supposed to say 100% of the work is done by 100% of the people. It's not a matter of 90% of the work being done by 10% of the people. That's dysfunction. Which organization you know that functions like that? What about the place you work? Is the work in your office 90% done by 10% of the people? If you don't do that in the workplace, what would happen to you? Okay. Now, if you find all of this stuff hard to swallow, please study in detail, as I said, Romans chapter 6, and note verses 18 to 22. Every Christian disciple, any person walking out of this baptistry and coming into church membership, is supposed to know at that point exactly what his job is in the church. If you don't know your job in the church, how can you function? A member of the church is like a member of the body. The church is the body of Christ. You're a member of the body. You function under the command of the central nervous system or the automatic nerve or whatever system you have in the body. But we think, I remember a gentleman of a church that I pastored coming to church one Sunday morning and said, telling his friends, I got my roof on last Sunday. Instead of being in church, he was working under the roof. Oh, I put my garden in last Sunday. Instead of being in church, he was doing the garden. And he was a leader of the church. That is why the world is in such a mess. The Christians have not done their job. And I hope and I pray and I ask you, know what your ministry is. Know your ministry and do it for the sake of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to help us to become fully alive and fully awake, awake to the truth that you have given us in your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to obey you in every way and to do, Lord, what you gave us to do. And help us to enjoy the journey, knowing that ahead of us lies the greatest joys of eternity, which will never end and never change. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.